This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 12. Tom jumped to his feet and spoke with a rasping voice that seemed to come from someone else.
Who are you?
Tom? What's up, Tom?
Catriona looked from the boy to the closed door and back again. When he didn't move, she got up, grasped and shook his shoulders. Tom stared past the girl at the figure behind her. The apparition opened her mouth and something incoherent drifted through Tom's consciousness. She repeated herself, and this time the boy deciphered the words to something that almost made sense.
Under the headstone!
As Tom watched with horrified fascination, the sound dried to silence, her lips still moving. Catriona's frenzied shaking lost to the strange vision. Tom was transfixed. The woman lifted her left hand and fingered an object hanging from a string chain around her neck. Tom focused on her elegant fingers as they stroked a simple piece of jewellery. She turned her head to look behind her and returned to gaze at Tom and speak to him in utter silence. Tom's attention was drawn to the chain, to the caressing fingers, to the stone that lay beneath them. And that's what it was. A stone. A pebble, perhaps taken from the beach beyond the door, fashioned into a plain heart. Smooth and simple and beautiful. The apparition looked down at the pendant and then at the boy. They held each other's gaze for half a beat that stretched to hours. The moment was shattered by an explosion of sound and wood, the door splintering to small pieces that showered the room. The woman cowered and Tom flinched, staggering backwards. The shock of this broke the hypnotic grip, and when Tom drew his eyes back to the woman, she was gone, the door untouched and still closed. Tom wrenched from Catriona's grip. He pushed past her, threw open the door and staggered into the hallway.
Who are you? What do you want from me?
But his words echoed in the empty hallway. Running from room to room, from shadow to shadow, he searched in vain for the woman, ignoring the girl at his back trying to calm him, and the nagging certainty that he would find nothing. When Catriona barred the door to the injured man's room, she hissed her frustration.
Calm down, Tom. If you wake him,
she nodded behind her.
He's in so much pain.
But Tom pushed past her again, his livid skin bloodened by the red cast of the fire. The man snored like a cartoon giant, and satisfied that there was no one else lurking within, Tom left and pounded the stairs. Catriona waited in the hallway, listening to the drumming feet, wincing at the slamming doors. When he returned a minute later, it was not to the warmth of the blanket and the fire, but to the wild fury they'd so recently escaped. He ran into the night storm like a madman searching for a stolen moon. Catriona stood in the doorway, flurries of water blasting and retreating from her body.
Tom!
She yelled again. The boy stood drenched, framed by the light from the hallway, his back to the cottage looking out over the water as if he could see into the featureless pitch of night. His shoulders slumped, the energy of moments before gone. He turned slowly, walked back inside, and Catriona closed the door.
"We'll get you dry," she said quietly.
"There's something wrong with me."
Catriona's frustration was tempered now by the helplessness in the boy's voice. He seemed so lost, so vulnerable.
"You've been through hell," she said. "It won't last forever."
Later, when they were dry and back in the same positions on the sofa, the fire blazing healthily, a mug of soup cupped in each other's hands, Catriona broached the subject with analytical calm.
"You should talk about it."
"There's nothing to talk about.
I'm seeing things. I've lost my mind."
Tom actually smiled at this thought. It felt as if that's exactly what he'd done. Misplaced his mind. His memories gone. Lost.
"Tell me what she looked like."
Tom brought the woman to his thoughts with surprising clarity. As he did, The warmth of the fire seemed to fuse with an inner glow that radiated from the image he held in his mind and spread throughout his body. She was young, perhaps in her late 20s. Very beautiful, her clothing plain, her dress long and loose, giving her an air of purity. The heart-shaped brooch. At that point, drawing on the memory of her standing there, she had long blonde hair piled high in her head. His own imagination seemed able to ply the image because the woman smiled even though he'd only seen her in distress. She was speaking to him, a small laugh creasing the corner of her eyes. She wore no makeup, but her skin glowed a pale beauty that made her blue eyes dazzle. Tom described what he saw as he focused on each aspect of the woman. What he didn't say was in the tone of his voice, the dreamy tilt of his head with each new discovery.
And this is the woman who disturbed you so?
Catriona was right. Gone was the spectral horror in front of him. Gone was the fright of the explosion. And gone too was the sense of helplessness he'd felt only minutes before. It was as though part of him had formed a favourable opinion of the woman that relied on information beyond his grasp. The girl had finished her drink and was now curled up on the other side of the sofa, the cover up to her chin. Her voice was as sleepy as Tom was. He nodded at her observation of his changed mood.
The shock of seeing her, I suppose, is different now. I'm curious. But she's not real.
Tom snuggled into the cushion at his head and held the woman's image in his mind. He knew they should move, get to where they could spread out, but still he melted into the sofa, the sanctuary of Catriona's company and the inner warmth flowing from this strange, intoxicating woman. The woman that common sense told him didn't exist. There was something else. As he lay there trying to pin down his feelings, feelings that had swung between fear and longing, between concerns for his sanity and concern for Catriona and the non-existent ghosts, a subtle change settled on him. It crept up as he was thinking of concrete things and took him by stealth. When he recognised the change, it was already well established and difficult to shake. That night, a lifetime ago, when Tom had stumbled on the cottage, he thought he'd done so by chance, but now he wasn't so sure. He still knew little of consequence about the place. He could not visualise what lay beyond the hill, had no idea what Lochranza might look like. What had changed was a recognition of something within himself, in some place, deep and inaccessible. A germ of familiarity struggled for growth. He couldn't put a face or an image to the feeling, but it was so intense that he could not shake it from his mind. He'd never seen Craigan Cottage before in his life, but that life was only a few days old. A small window opened in another existence, an old self, another Tom. And now he was certain. He'd been here before.
DreamWorks.com.